Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What's up, guys? Don't forget to sub to Patreon so that you can see the visuals. Because not only do we have episodes of the podcast, we have exclusive content that nobody else sees on any other apps, behind the scenes, photo shoots, and we're dropping a whole bunch of surprising stuff this year. So if you guys don't want to miss out and you want to be the first to know, go over to our Patreon, www.dumbblondeunrated.com. Love ya. Is this thing on?
All right, gentlemen, coming to main stage next, this is Bunny. Get up there. She's got a tornado of titties coming your way. Get those dollar bills ready. She's got an ass that shakes like Michael J. Fox. So get up there and throw them dollars.
Dude, that is fucking iconic. What's up, you sexy motherfuckers? Welcome to another episode of Dumb Blonde. Today, I have one half of the iconic couple.
The beautiful Revy Hardy is here, baby.
Oh, thank you.
Does it ever bother you being referred to as Matt Hardy's wife?
It's like, I get it to an extent, like he's the more famous one, but it really does like discredit literally everything I've ever done in my life. Like all the cool shit that I've ever done. It was before I met him, really. Mm-hmm. And there's 100 different lifetimes that I feel like I've lived before I met him. And all that is just like null and void. Like no one cares. Once you're with him, you're just like Matt Hardy's wife. That's it. That's your whole personality. There's nothing else special about you.
So. Yeah.
I get it. But at the same time, I'm like, just fuck me, I guess. Like, well, what am I, chopped liver over here?
Yeah, no, for sure. So I heard the New York accent and I heard you mention 100 lifetimes. So I want to take it all the way back. You grew up in New York, correct?
Yeah, Queens, New York.
My father's from Queens, Kew Gardens.
Oh, shit, okay.
Yeah, I've never been. I don't think I've ever been
there. Not far from there.
Oh, very cool. I love that. So growing up in New York, what was that like for you? Paint that picture for us.
Man, growing up in New York, I feel like now that I've lived in other places than New York, and especially now I live in like the deep country, like you gotta drive 30 minutes to go to the supermarket.
Oh my gosh. So, I didn't even know places were like that in New York.
Now, yeah. Gotcha. So it's like now that I look back on my upbringing and my childhood, like damn, I really took shit for granted,
right?
Like, I'm out here like, you know, just going and hanging out in the city and doing it, you know, just at the drop of a hat. And I think about that now, it's like, man, I really gotta drive 20 minutes to go to a Walmart. Like it's crazy. But my dad was a superintendent of an apartment building that we lived in, and that's how we were able to live in a nicer area, which was great. So we had a 3-bedroom apartment in New York, and
you're balling.
Yeah, no, we were balling. Shout out to my dad, because he busted his ass. You know, I feel like everything I have now, even like the gothic baby stuff in my life and my DIY stuff, is watching him being like a handyman and doing everything himself. It's like that's where I get it from.
So you have a pretty good relationship with Pops.
Yeah, we actually ended up moving him down the street. So he lived in Puerto Rico after him and my mom split up because she was fucking the gardener. And
damn it, mom.
God damn it, mom. You damn trifling. So the whole, you know, it was when the hurricane was happening in Puerto Rico about 5 years back, maybe, God, even longer by now. And we were like, you know what? Every time it rains inside of your house too. Like, we can't do this. So we bought him a house on the compound. We live on 100 acres in the middle of nowhere.
Nice.
So now he's part of the compound there. He's got his own little house. So yeah, we're close, and you know, thank goodness for him.
I love that. So you said so growing up, did you have both parents or did they split when you were growing up?
Yeah, they were together up until not long ago. My mom bought a house in Millinore, North Carolina, also.
Oh, God.
Unrelated to Matt. Just, you know, meant to be in the stars, I guess.
Yeah.
And she moves first to get the house set up and everything. And my dad had it finished so he could collect his pension. He had to stay X amount of years or whatever. And she ended up, you know, she went buck wild. And then mom, they broke up.
Mom was just ready. She fucking had her, what do they call it? Midlife crisis. And just fucking, yeah, just went crazy. So growing up, what was Little Rebby like? Were you always like into wrestling and stuff like that? Or was that like, were you always roughhousing? Do you have siblings?
Yeah, so I have four siblings, but there's like 18 years in between me and the youngest. Wow. Of them. So, you know, they were more like parental figures that I really never saw. So almost like uncles really at that point. Mm-hmm. I'm closer with their kids now who are technically my nieces and nephews than right. with my actual siblings. So it was just me because I'm my dad's only kid. Mm-hmm. I feel like wrestling in the late 90s, like Y2K was like the hot, cool thing to do. It's not like it is now. You know, it's like, oh, hokey wrestling.
Yeah.
Like, nerd. Like wrestling used to be a cool thing. You know, yeah. It was like everybody was into it. So that's kind of, you know, I got into it that way.
Yeah. Did you know, like, as a kid, like, this is what I want to do? Or it was just, you were just kind of like a fan about it?
I was like a showbiz kid, like in dance classes and piano gotcha. Classes and just any sort of like entertainment or stage, like I was there. So when I was younger, I never really thought in a million years that I would have any involvement in wrestling at all. That kind of happened after I started working, not even working. I did, it's so crazy. So this is one of the lifetimes. I had this thing where I would go to Giants game. I was like a huge New York Giants fan. Mm. And I would go to all the games and I would dress up. And now it's like, who cares, bitch? Everyone dresses up. Listen, right. Back 900 years ago, whenever this, no one was doing this. No one was dressing up in crazy outfits and, you know, like cute corsets and tutus and shit and going to the game. It just wasn't happening.
Right.
So I started getting this sort of like cult following and becoming like this New York Giants, I don't want to say icon because that's a big word, but, you know, notable and like on NFL Network and in the commercials and all that kind of thing. So I got to do interviews at Sirius XM, and from there I met somebody who ended up hosting a wrestling show on Sirius XM. And I was like, oh my God, I used to watch wrestling. I remember wrestling, whatever. Anyway, I ended up being a fill-in host for that show.
Wow.
And then eventually, you know, kept doing that kind of stuff, the kind of gopher apprentice type stuff, ended up being an actual host. And then we would have guests in studio, you know, kind of like this. And everyone who would come in would say, man, you should be in the business. Like, what are you doing over here interviewing me? Like, you should be wrestling. And then when I heard that, you know, enough times, I was like, well, fuck it. Let me go find a school and let me train. And literally 2 months after I started training, I got a deal with MTV2 for a wrestling TV show that they were doing. It like spiraled from there.
That's so crazy. Well, let's
all like one thing to another random.
Yeah. Let's rewind it back real quick before we start talking about your wrestling. And let's talk about this child bride thing. Yeah. We cannot just skip over that.
I always do though. Yeah, I drop it every now and trauma. Then and then I keep moving.
Yeah, that's trauma. You're
it's
like
a long just story drop. Bro, it's
well, we're ready, so everybody get your coffee, get your fucking crumpets and tea. We are sitting down right now. It's tea time.
Okay. All right,
child bride. So how old were you?
I was 16 technically. Okay. The whole thing started when I was 15, but I was, you know, I want to say like problem child, but when I look back at it, like, was I really like, I was sort of in the foster care system for a minute. I was in the troubled teen industry, which like, you know, I don't know if you guys seen like that Paris Hilton interview that she did.
Yeah.
Speaking out. It was literally that. It was one of those places.
Did you just start getting into trouble? What was the,
I mean, it wasn't even trouble. I wasn't on drugs. I wasn't like, you know, out here robbing people. Yeah, you're I was
rebellious.
I feel like I was just a regular ass teenager, the way you would expect teenagers to be. Right. But my mom was really crazy. So she was just, I don't know. She had me really, I don't want to say really old, but she had me at like 41, which in the 80s is like miracle baby. You know, right. Nowadays it ain't nothing. But back then right. It was a big deal. She already had four kids, you know. So I feel like she really, really liked me when I was a little baby. And then once I stopped being a baby, it was like,
it was hard this for bitch. Her to relate to you.
She didn't want to do, it felt like she didn't want nothing to do with me. So I feel like anything that wasn't just me being like a complacent like doll that she could dress up at that point was like too much. So anything I did was trouble. And I had met this guy and it was like my third boyfriend in my life ever, you know, like 15 years old, whatever, but he was Jewish. And the neighborhood right, you know, next to the neighborhood that I grew up in, like Regal Park Left Rack, was a huge like Hasidic Jewish community. So his parents were like hardcore Jewish. So they absolutely hated me.
And it was like, it was Remy.
this huge thing. So his mom, just to be spiteful, called CPS on my mom. And because I was already in the system and like cops had been called to the house prior because like we'd be fighting and throwing hands, craziness, you know, they were like, yeah, she's going to go back into the foster system. And I was like, bro. Mm-hmm. So what ended up happening was they sort of like arranged for me to marry this guy. So that my mom wouldn't go to jail because they were threatening her with that. Like, because his mom had said, oh, you're allowing them to have sex in your house and you're facilitating all this illicit thing, blah, blah, blah. So my mom's like, you about to catch me in none of this. So she's like, you're going to marry him. It's going to go away. And I'm going to wipe my hands clean of it. I don't have to deal with you. And now I'm not going to get in trouble. Kind of is really how it happened.
How did you feel? Were you ready to get married and kind of get away and get out of the system?
Well, you know, my dumb ass at 15, I'm like, oh, I love him. Like, whatever. Yeah. It's like, this random dude I've known for a few months. Like, what right. What do I know?
How did his parents feel about the arrangement? Were they okay?
They were mad. Oh, they were mad. Okay.
So
mad.
Your parents.
Because she was playing the game, you know, because his mom thought, ha ha, I'm going to break them up. You know, right. I'm going to end this. And, her mom's going to get in trouble. And my mom was like, bet. Right. So they're like playing their little chess game.
Yeah.
So that's how that happened. And it was terrible. You know, I went to my first prom. I was with my husband. I was married before I went to my first prom.
Wow.
And, you know, just having to figure out where we're going to live now. How are we going to make money now? You know, and it's not like, you know, around where I live. You know, just get an apartment, get a room. In New York, it's like, you know, $2,000 for a studio, for a room, whatever. So, I mean, it took a lot of, I feel like, time to develop and like become my own person and like pursue my own interests that I should have been able to have as a normal fucking teenager, like regular teenagers. Like, it took that away from me. Like part of that is why I'm like so psycho into everything. Like, I literally do everything and anything because like I couldn't do that before. Yeah. Like, let me be crazy now.
No, I love that. How long did that marriage last?
Technically it was almost 3 years, but I mean, really, it was over.
Right.
The minute you guys got married, like a marriage, really. It was.
How did you guys get, like, did he work? Did you work? Like, how did you guys even live?
Yeah, we both worked. I worked as a belly dancer. So I worked for an entertainment company. I would do weddings, bar mitzvahs, you know.
Can you belly dance for us still?
I mean, I got the belly for it now. I didn't have it back then. I mean, I guess I could.
That's like, so I love the way they move their hips and shit. Like, it is just, it's like it puts people in a trance.
It does.
It is so hot and seductive, dude. Okay, so after you get this divorce, you're how old?
Almost 18.
Where does Rebby go from here?
So
you're 18, just divorced.
Mm-hmm, yeah, divorcee. And I took my wedding photos from a wedding photo shoot that we had done at the mall, like one of those like glamour shots places. And I uploaded it onto
glamour shots. I remember.
I'm fucking embarrassing. I need to go find these pictures because I feel like it'd make a good story time or something. But
do it.
I put it on this like model portfolio website.
Yes.
And within the first like week, I met this guy. Of course, I met a bunch of guys, a bunch of fucking creeps, because that's what that shit was. Mm. And
hide behind a modeling agency.
Oh yeah, I'm a photographer. Oh, God. You know, come do artistic photos.
Yeah.
There was a lot of that, and I learned that pretty quick.
Yeah.
I was dumb, but I caught on pretty quick.
Yeah.
But I met this guy who I ended up dating very briefly, but he had a friend, and he was like, oh, yeah, I got this friend who's a photographer, and he shoots film, and, you know, I feel like he, you know, you'd be a good fit for him, because I used to be, like, 90 pounds, like, super, you know, ideal for that kind of stuff that he was doing at the time. So I went and I did that. We shot on like some rooftop in the city. I went to Montauk and in Long Island in the Hamptons, and we shot some stuff. That ended up being the guy who shot my first Playboy pictures. My first Playboy pictures, I didn't even know were going to be. I didn't even know I was going to be in Playboy.
Right.
I got a call from this guy 8 months after the fact. And he's like, oh, I'm going to be in Playboy. And I was like, congratulations. And he's like, no, we're going to be in Playboy. And I was like...
Isn't that crazy how back in the day, like, people could take anybody's pictures as long as they had the authorization, or not even an authorization, but as long as they had the pictures, and submit them to a fucking magazine like Playboy?
It's insane.
They would never do that now.
I couldn't imagine.
The lawsuits that would happen now is crazy, you know?
Right. But it's like, they were like film pictures on the beach. I literally thought he was just like, because I was sort of like his test models for when he would, you know, shoot the real beautiful models, you know, like the real tall girls or, you know, right. the stuff that he, because he was doing arts and books and museums and stuff like that. So I was like, okay, nothing's ever going to come of it. And, you know, that ended up being published. And from there, I was like, bitch, I'm going to run with this.
Yeah.
This is my moment. So and I like took that and literally like marketed myself to try and be the most important model that has ever modeled in the fucking world of modeling. Like I was just like, this is my chance. Yeah. And I hooked my trailer up to that shit and went, and it worked out. Thank God.
So you got published in Playboy. What happens after that?
After that, really just like magazine stuff, signed to a couple agencies. I ended up moving to Florida. And then sort of the whole Giants thing. Mm-hmm. And from there it went to radio and to wrestling.
Okay, so now we circle back to when you got signed. You got signed by, who was it again? Was it, you didn't say MTV. Who signed
for
you?
The wrestling?
Yes.
So it was a company. It was called Lucha Libre USA, and it was a show to be on MTV2.
Okay, gotcha.
So it was on MTV, MTV2. It was on the Latino MTV. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I was thrown into wrestling. My first proper match was televised on live TV. So it's like crazy because a lot of times wrestling fans will be like, this dumb bitch, she's only in wrestling because of Matt. She sucks. That's the only reason she got a chance. Like literally, like this was, I had like months of training and thrown into it and that's it. On TV, bam. It wasn't like how most people, you know, years of training and, you know, going to a facility and, you know, having indie matches. It was like, boom, right away on TV with like veterans of wrestling.
Sink or fucking swim.
So yeah, it was like, yeah, go ahead, bitch. Good luck.
And so how did that first match turn out?
I feel like the producers of the match protected me enough. It was like a six-girl tag match at mm-hmm. least. But, I mean, I was so fucking scared.
Oh, I bet. Scared to death.
Because, you know,
Those bitches are tough. They're rowdy, dude.
Oh, my God. The people that had me in there, too, I thought I was going to die. And it's very, like, wrestling cult mentality, like the culture of wrestling to, shit on the new girl and to, like, show her who's boss kind of thing. Mm. So... in that match, necessarily, it really wasn't, but like that is sort of the whole feeling around wrestling in general, which is where I feel like a lot of my wrestling beef is started with, because people are like, oh, this new bitch, she hasn't paid her dues, whatever the fuck. Like,
it's like a pecking order.
It really is. And it's like a lot of those people got bullied coming up. And even if it was coming up 20 years ago when, you know, the culture around wrestling and what was socially acceptable was a lot different 20 right. years ago, people used to be shitting in people's bags just to show them who's boss, and that was normal. You, you do that now, you're going to jail, you know what I mean?
So it's
like those people went through that and they're like, oh, who's this, you know, little pretty bitch coming up, and she thinks she's just gonna roll up in here and have a spot. And then especially once I started dating Matt, it was like bullseye on this dumb bitch.
So take us into your wrestling career a little bit. So you did that first match, and then where does that go from there? How long after your first match did you meet Matt?
So we actually met on Twitter.
Oh, really? Okay.
The worst way to meet anybody, honestly.
Mean, not really. I mean, you could have said Tinder. So I mean, oh my Twitter's God. Better than Tinder.
It's more embarrassing than that, I feel like. But I started doing indie stuff. So I did it sort of backwards, right? It was like on TV. And then I started doing independent stuff locally. And I was doing a lot of announcing work because I was still working in radio. So people sort of like recognize me from being able to talk kind of thing. Right. Believe it or not.
No, I think you're doing great.
It's a very different life.
No.
And this girl on Twitter saw that I was going to be at a show, or the show that saw that Matt was going to be at a show. And she tweeted me, and I had just broken up with somebody. Mm. And I'm lamenting, like, my life is up. Very dramatic, fucking emo 2012 Leo. Twitter, you know, whatever. Yes, very much that. I'm going to die. My life is up. Very dramatic. So this girl, I guess, a wrestling fan, seen it. And she was like, you know what? You should try and talk with this guy, Matt Hardy. He's been through a breakup, and I don't even know what they were referencing, but bitch, I found out since. She's like, he's been through a breakup, and you guys would be really great together. And he just like wrote back like a colon parentheses. Is this how long ago? It wasn't even emojis yet. Like winky face. And I was like, uh-huh, yeah, sure. I'll let you know, when the wedding is or whatever. Mm-hmm. And literally it just started with bullshit flirtations back and forth because like this random fan on Twitter decided that we needed to be together.
Aww.
Out of thin air.
But that's destiny, you know? I mean, literally.
I guess.
If you think about it. I mean, fuck, you guys have been together, what, 10 years now? Longer?
13 years.
Yeah. Like, that's obviously, that was definitely written in the cards. Okay, so you and Matt are fucking tweeting each other. When do you guys officially meet?
So there was that show that that girl was saying, oh, you should. Oh, so there was a show that he had that weekend and the fan persisted, right? Because I probably would have just let it go. But the fan was like, are you going to go see him? And I was like, how else are we supposed to consummate the marriage? Joke's on me, bitch. Hello. Now look at me. But, you know, so I ended up actually getting booked on that show. So he was performing and I was booked as an announcer on that show. And then we met. And from there, it was like almost inseparable. Like just from that day. Crazy. Yeah.
Aww. Look at your eyes light up when you talk about it. She's like, he drives me nuts, but I love him. Oh, I love that. So you guys get together. You deal with the backlash of his breakup, right? We don't really have to touch too much on it because I know people are crazy.
To this day. Yes.
Yeah, I've seen it online and I'm like, bro, like they have fucking four kids together. They literally are been married 13 years. Like, leave her alone. So you catch all this backlash. You know, how do you deal with everything that was getting thrown your way? Like the girls are picking on you and the wrestling and then, you know, you're dealing with the backlash from that. How did you guys kind of like come together and just buckle down?
It was hard. I really had to hold my own. But on top of it, at the time, he was going through like a shit time, like a ton of issues. So he was like always in the press, like getting in trouble. And I was having to, you know, toe that line of not wanting to defend him because I was the one trying to pull him out of it, but also like not wanting people to shit on your man kind of thing. Right. So I got a lot of shit just for even sticking by him half the time. And, you know, we were young and dumb and probably not making the best choices. You know, he got out of rehab for one day and the first thing we did was like do a nude photo shoot, like post a like, and I look back and I'm like, what the fuck was I thinking, bro? But, you know, I'm sure to fans, they're
roll,
like,
baby,
what the hell is this? You know, it probably looked fucking crazy. But, you know, so it was a lot of backlash. Some of it was deserved because I was just young and dumb and, you know, just going with it. And I've always had like a very like troll mentality, like you're not about to talk crazy to me without having me talk back. And I've calmed down a lot.
Yeah, it's hard because you can't win.
But I'm like, you're not going to disrespect me. I don't care if you got a screen behind you or if you don't mind. You want to say that to my face, I want to let that slide in person. Why am I going to let it slide now? Like,
these bitches
you don't find out.
Quiver in your presence.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. So it's like I used to have to attack everybody. So
yeah, I've had to learn that this very past week. It's very hard to keep your mouth shut, especially when it's like you know the whole story and they don't, and everybody's got a fucking opinion.
Oh, you're yeah.
Like, now I just tell people, you know, hopefully you can mind your business this week, you know? And they hate it because they're like, you too. And I'm like, bitch, you're on my page. You know, it's so hard not want to go back and forth.
Yeah.
So let's move forward. You and Matt have been together. You guys have created this beautiful life. How do you guys end up in North Carolina?
Mm-hmm.
How do you guys end up in North Carolina?
So he's from there. His whole family's from there.
Oh, okay.
Like for 300 years. Just everyone's been born on the same block kind of thing. And he's lived on the same, I say block, but you know, country.
Yeah, well,
block.
You're from New York, so it makes sense.
But yeah, I mean, he'll never leave. I've tried, especially before we had kids. Well, let's get a place in Florida. Let's get a place in New York. I tried to get him to buy my old apartment 10 years ago. And 10 years ago, it was like, $500,000. That shit's like $800,000. I'm like, we should have bought it.
Yeah.
You know, but he's just born and raised there. His whole family's from there forever. He will never leave. We'll be there forever.
That's how country boys are. My husband will never leave Nashville. As much as he says he wants to, we're never gonna leave.
Oh, he don't even want to though. He's just like, this is it. That's all he knows. So
So you guys bought 100 acres in North Carolina.
It was just there.
Oh, you guys built your house on the acres.
Yeah. So it's sort of like the family compound that was, it used to be like his dad's house and then like the house he grew up in across and then his sister's house. And the next to that was like another family house. It was like this huge plot of farmland. I think they used to be like tobacco farmers or something. So
awesome.
Matt had the 40 acres on it. And then we've sort of built on. Jeff, his brother, is next to us. And then across is their dad who's passed. And then next to that is my dad.
I love that. That is really awesome.
Yes.
So take me into the house. Where did you, have you always been into Gothic interior? Like, is that your thing? Like, take me on this journey of Gothic baby. Because everybody is just obsessed with Gothic baby. That's what drew me in. That was the first video of yours I ever saw.
Thank you.
I was like, look at this fucking baby. I was like, this is so amazing. And then I saw all your shit that you do. And I'm like, oh God, I'm following her. She's like inspiration, like for the decor and shit.
Thanks. I grew up, you know, that apartment that I grew up in Queens, I mentioned that my dad was the super of the building.
Right.
So when people would die, he would like...
get, you would get first dibs on their apartment. You know what I mean? Like, if next of kin didn't come and claim the stuff, it's going in the dump, or my dad's taking it. You know what I mean?
Right. So we had this very eclectic mix of like antiques and old stuff and oddities and sort of weird stuff. So that was the apartment that I grew up in. It was very like mixed match and antique.
Right.
So to me, that was normal. And I always thought that was the most beautiful thing. I didn't never want anything modern or, you know, futuristic, even throughout like Y2K, everything's, you know, modern. I wanted to live like in a castle my whole life. Mm-hmm. So even like, I feel like I would ask for Christmas for like, I want like a Beauty and the Beast mirror, but like, I would get like something pink and plastic and I'd be like, what the fuck is this?
Right.
I wanted the carved wood, Baroque. Gilded. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So that's sort of like my whole life. That was like goals, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So when I was pregnant with Gothic Baby.
Mm-hmm. Is she Evermore?
Is yeah.
Her name I is love Evermore. The names.
Thank you.
I love all. What is it? Maxell? Mm-hmm. Evermore?
Wolfgang.
Bartholomew.
Which I found out on Twitter is very controversial name. Bartholomew. Fuck.
I didn't know that.
Why me neither until I posted it. Apparently Bartholomew is like a name that you call somebody to like make fun of them. Or like when you think somebody's not cool, you just like Karen. You're like, okay, Karen. If somebody's not cool, you say like, okay, Bartholomew. Like, I didn't know that.
I've never heard that in my life.
Me neither, ever. Bro. Now I felt, I'm like, God damn it. I didn't know that.
That is insane. Okay, so when you were pregnant with Gothic Baby.
So she was my first girl after three boys. And I have it in my head, like, I'm a boy mom. That's all I am. I don't know how to deal with a girl, especially with all the horseshit with my mom. I didn't know how to have a relationship like with a mom or with a girl. So
you
I
was to break the cycle.
So, you know, the first girl after,
sorry,
Matt, it's over here like ASMR.
It's okay.
Bro.
No,
so
he's
good. The first girl after three boys, and I could either like go completely pink, ruffle, glitter, like, you know, Barbie, or, you know, maybe something more gender neutral, which is what I ended up going with. So the original intent for like the nursery was never, I was never like, I'm going to make a Gothic nursery. It was like, I'm going to do something neutral and try and make it like as luxe as I can without being modern. So to me, what does that mean? A lot of antiques, a lot of like draperies and stuff. And then even in just sharing that stuff, you know, and there's nothing inherently, I would say, goth in her room. And I feel like there's a difference between like goth and gothic. Like gothic, I feel like, is more of a style, aesthetic, and architectural style.
Absolutely.
And goth is more like the music scene, or, you know, the fashion, or, you know, maybe even into emo, whatever the hell, you know. So but people were seeing that. I was just posting little bits here and there on my social media, and people were just going crazy, like, this poor child living in a Gothic house, she has no color, like, you know,
we a
just...
huge fucking house.
yeah
poor child
house. Yeah, like, we just put her in this one room all day and that's all it's gonna be.
You know? So
the whole Gothic Baby thing started as like a satirical response, like, to what these people were saying, like, oh, this Gothic Baby just mopes around all day surrounded by darkness. So literally, I didn't mean for it to be a series. It was just me, like, you know, like
clapping,
I was
saying,
like, wanting to troll.
Yeah.
Like, being, you know, being sarcastic, like, yes, my poor fucking child, Gothic Baby.
Yeah.
And that's how it happened. If it popped off and people really liked it, and I was like,
dude,
well,
it more than popped off. It's literally just viral. Everybody knows Gothic Baby now, which is fucking insane.
Oh,
she's like, damn it, I get showed up by my husband and then I get showed up by my fucking kid.
I've always said I'm the least popular person in my family.
Oh, not true though, because you're probably the glue that holds everybody together. You
facts.
Know?
That is true.
I feel like us wives, we don't get enough fucking credit, you know, but it is what it is. So, do you have plans on like branding Gothic Baby or like?
So I'm actually in the middle of writing a children's book.
Aww.
And it's sort of like based on her and inclusivity and that kind of thing. And I mean, I would love to take it to the moon. You know, I love doing it. It very much fits like our organic family dynamic and how we actually live and what our house really is. You know, it's not like a front or anything.
Yeah.
It started because that's what the hell was happening in my house, you know? So it would be great to keep on going with that.
Are you going to put the kids into it too? The other kids, the older ones?
The younger ones, it's funny because anytime Bartholomew, bless his heart, poor thing. It was Barty. You know, Barty Hardy.
Yeah.
It rhymes, you know?
Yeah.
Poor thing. I didn't know about the Barty. Okay.
That's news to me. I am so tired of the internet though, girl. You caught me on the right week because I am just, the fucking internet is so sensitive, dude. Like, you can't do anything right.
No, you can't do anything, period. Yeah.
You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. So just fucking live your life. Fuck them. Like, who cares? Love you guys, but fuck you, okay?
No, I feel you there. But anytime we even see anything black, or like, you know, for example, I like have my nails done, right? And they're like, you know, they're darker, they're black. And the first thing that Barty says, he comes to me and says, gothic baby nails. Like anything black is like gothic baby. And, you know, they see their sister, you know, when I do my little bits and stuff with her. And he's always trying to get in. You know, they always want to be in. And even our first kid, you know, he was on the road with us at wrestling shows on TV from the time he was 4 months old.
Yeah.
Like literally traveling the world. He's been to like 4 different continents at this point. At like one, you know, so we're just a showbiz family. That's just sort of how it is. You know,
Why haven't I done a reality show on you guys yet?
We're actually talking to a bunch of people now, but I don't want to jinx anything. But
I was like, if not, I'll produce it with my fucking production company. That shit would be amazing, dude.
No, but I agree. There's so many different things that are happening at any given time that I feel like are weird and different. But
yeah, I hate the whole reality show thing because it takes forever for the networks and like the filming, the sizzle. Yeah. We've been doing it with Chelsea Handler for fucking since 2018, or when was it? When did we meet her? Yeah, 2018. And it is a fucking process, dude.
Yeah, it takes forever. That just scares me because I'm like, first of all, she's not going to be a baby forever.
Yeah.
And then secondly, you got to like strike while the iron's hot, you know? And I'm very impatient as a person.
That's what I just did with me.
So it might end up being.
I'll help you. We'll talk about it whenever we're done with this interview. Like for real.
Thank you.
That would be awesome to go out there and like film for a few weeks and just get a whole thing for you guys.
We would be down. Yeah, we would love that.
I'll talk to you about it after this. But yeah, so, okay, so you guys still, are you still wrestling or no?
No.
Matt is still wrestling?
He is, yeah.
That's crazy that fucking, how long has he been in the business?
Do you want to come say hi?
He's eating. He doesn't have to.
It's okay.
Yeah.
31.
I'm 31 years.
31 years. Like, that's fucking insanity. But do you think that your boys are going to follow in his footsteps?
You know, when they were younger, it was like literally all they were about. And you know, you'd ask them, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I homeschool, so we do our little board every year for, you know, the beginning
You're
of
like
the
fucking super
season. Thank you. And you know, it would say, what do you want to be when you grow up? And it was always wrestler, wrestler, wrestler. I feel like the older one, which is the one that was on TV, he literally had a match on TV when he was 1 year old. Like, insane. Wow. I feel like he's almost like a jaded vet. Like, he's over it. It's funny. The other two are very much, like, the younger ones are very much into it. We have a wrestling ring in our house. So, like, they're always asking him to go out there. And, you know, the little one is in jiu-jitsu right now. So, I'm scared. I'm almost scared to say it because I know how the business is. Like, yeah. I want them to do it because it would be cool. And obviously, like, carry on the Hardy legacy and, you know, it makes sense. But at the same time, I'm like, I've been there. I know what it's like. And that scares the shit out of me. So,
yeah.
Aww. Just gonna, it's
whenever that comes, you guys will deal with it as it comes.
I guess. I don't even want to think about it, honestly.
What if she is like, I want to be the wrestler?
No. Hard fucking no.
Gothic baby, the wrestler.
I'm sorry. I let her have complete body and personal life autonomy until then.
Yeah.
The fuck you are.
Yeah. Like, no, you're not fucking doing it.
Girl, I've been there. No. You don't want this.
Well, what do you think gothic, the whole thing for you, your family, gothic baby, what do you see it in 2022 or 20, sorry, wrong year. What do you see for 2023? Gothic baby, your brand, all that stuff. What would you want to manifest if you could manifest something right now?
I would love to have like a reality series or something and make it sort of like a modern day Addams Family, you know, not tie myself, you know, not too close to that whole thing. But I mean, it is a huge part, you know, sort of like the Osbournes were like the cool alt reality family back in the day. Absolutely. I feel like, you know, there's not really that much representation, I feel like, for alt people that's positive, at least. Mm-mm. And I feel like, you know, we do have that style and we do have that lifestyle and that aesthetic, but you know, we're also, I don't know, I would say fairly wholesome. We're pretty cool. There's a lot going on. I feel like that'd be cool to share because
extremely wholesome.
There's already so many like misconceptions about every single person in this family at this point that it would be nice to like, one, clear the air, and then two, like, just share the good parts.
I think it'll be awesome, and I think it will happen for you guys because you guys have a very – I love whenever he gets in the TikToks too because he's like my husband. My husband hates to get in the TikToks, and you can tell he's like –
You posted something the other day, and I was like – I forget what it was that he was saying, but I was like, oh, my God, this is like literally word for word what my husband would say.
Yeah,
like,
no, Jay hates it. He always says, you can be the online persona, and I'm the fucking musician. Like, he's like, I just want to be mysterious, and I'm like, okay, well, mysterious this on my TikTok.
There you
he
go.
He gets so mad.
I'm with
he's
you.
He's like, fucking TikTok. Well, Revy, I really enjoyed enjoyed having you here. Thank you for coming by. Why don't you tell people where they can find you? Shout out your TikTok, Instagram, anything you want to plug.
Yeah, just tag me out on TikTok. It's at Rebby Hardy, R-E-B-Y Hardy. On Instagram, it's Rebby Sky. Someone stole my name. Can't get it back. But yeah, other than that's it.
Damn it.
Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
Really appreciate you. Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Dumb Blonde. I will see you guys next week. Bye.